Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467369.
You put the baby to sleep, nigga?
Nah, she...
Daddy daycare ass nigga?
She said, she's like, nah, nigga. Not today. I ain't sleeping. So big sister's big sister's on duty right here. She wanted down. We get crazy. I'ma just work the mute. Let me take that back. The missus wanted to go out. So
I would say you ain't got that say so, nigga. You're out.
Yeah, nah. I'm not even trying to make it.
You're out, nigga. Your wife is bullying, nigga. It's over.
Yeah. She said, yo,
take the baby and shut up.
She was like, yo, I'm about to hit this happy hour up with my homegirl. So I was like, all right, go ahead, do your thing. I ain't been out since, though. That's crazy. You would think I'd be the one, like, trying to go out. I ain't been out since.
You ain't no hoes. Nobody looking at shit. Ain't nobody checking for you, nigga. A little kid might compliment your sneakers or some shit.
If that.
That's all that attention you're getting now.
Depending on what I got on, dog, real talk. Shit, if I got some too classic type shit, old young niggas be looking at my sneaks like, what the fuck is those? You know what I mean? Like, them Joneses, like a lot of things out, like when I'm at school, a lot of things I wear, young boys be looking at me like, yo, them Jones corny. I'm like, you out your ever loving fucking mind, dog. You know what these is? These Jones older than you.
Philly niggas sound rude as fuck. especially the old niggas, especially how they be talking to you.
Nah.
I could never work there.
It ain't that niggas is fucking rude. It's just that everybody in Philly talk shit. Like, everybody in Philly talk shit. You can't. It's either you a square, but you just a regular.
Our Philly homie, mild mannered, nigga. That nigga don't be talking shit like that. You be talking shit, and then the other niggas be talking shit.
It might depend on what part of Philly is you from.
I don't know.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, real talk. Depending on if, you know what I mean? Like, for like on some real stuff, yo, everybody grew up talking. You either grew up talking shit or you didn't say shit. There's no real in between. You don't really find too many people in Philly that are in the middle. You either real chill or you just really, really, you always want to hunt it because everybody that you've known your entire life has talked shit. Came, you know what I mean? Try to make a joke or whatever. Not on some ignorant stuff. It's love.
Yeah.
Yo.
Nigga, we hear you, nigga. Damn. Nigga go yo us to death, nigga.
No, I'm just fucking
with you, man.
Yeah, he said, Waz said he came back, from Sunday night going out with the celebrating the Dreamville album. He said he came back at 4 in the morning and kissed his dog on the mouth. I said, damn.
Waz, no way.
Yes, that's what he said.
I don't believe that.
It was self-reported.
That's such a fucking troll, bro.
White was, man. That's what we call them now. White was. Oh, man.
That, my bad. That shit was delayed as hell. I just got that.
All right. Hey, you ready?
Is that face app got to stop, bro.
No,
yo, hey, man, what is that shit?
This, I'll tell you what that shit is.
That shit to cops, right?
I said it on the jump today, and I said it quick, so they just move on to the next topic. Yo, this is how the Russian hackers get all of your personal data and perfect their facial recognition technology. Yo, like, this is Westworld, right? This, everyone's like, oh, there's a cute app that do this, and all they're doing is collecting your personal data, and they're going to use it against us somehow, like maybe in the 2020 election or whatever, right? Like, so this idea that everyone is just gladly forking over a picture of themselves to some app is just crazy to me. And also, it's thought mentality, man. Very, very thoughtish mentality.
So many people that I would never think would do this, do it. You know what I mean? Like, I got a handful of homies and people that on IG that I follow that I know them. No matter whatever the new thing is that comes out, they're going to try it, right? And then there's a bunch of people that don't ever do shit. But today, all the people that never do shit did this app. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Why is everyone old as fuck on my timeline right now?
Here's how like little I give a fuck about people's IG. I didn't even recognize it. Someone sent me theirs, and I was like, okay, that's a dope picture.
Listen,
and they're like, no, can't you see? I'm old. I'm like, what?
That nigga Steph Curry did that shit. Them niggas is calling you Meth Curry.
Wow. Meth Curry.
That nigga look nuts, bro. It make black people look crazy old, nigga. Well, that shit.
We don't even age like that. That's crazy part.
That's what Nate Jones was talking about. He said what the creators of this app didn't take into account is that black don't crack unless you're on some sort of substance.
Yeah.
So Meth Curry makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All that face app shit, that shit got capped. Because you look at it from a different perspective, that shit look like we've been abusing Hennessy or some shit.
Abusing Hennessy's and smoking two packs a day.
Some of us have. Some of us have.
Hey, man.
Still. That's not even Hennessy. That's like OE.
Nah, but you don't. The niggas that drink, bro, they don't be like looking rough. Niggas that be looking rough, bro, I don't know. That shit's OD.
I get you.
That's the Rock.
I definitely get
that's
you.
The Rock does that to you.
Yeah.
If you're smoking that Rock, yeah, like that shit will age you, man.
What's up with Mari? Hiatus?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that Rock, y'all watch Snowfall?
I ain't got to that. Oh, yeah.
Nah, man, I want to, but you know what's happened to me, Jerv? What I've learned is if you don't have an app that allows me to watch your shows on demand, like without connecting to the internet, there's like a 99% less chance that I'll get into the show. Like, I want to be able to watch this shit on a flight, right? That's why the Netflix shows do well with me, the Amazon shows do well. Like, the only one that I will like suspend that rule for is HBO, and even HBO, like Euphoria.
Euphoria is fire.
Everyone Euphoria, says that, what's that? That's the Zendaya show that's on HBO. Oh,
okay.
It's Drake's show.
Is it?
Yeah, I just found this shit out the other day.
Good for him.
Good for him, right? It's basically Degrassi on steroids anyway.
Oh, shout out to Drake.
Yeah, they said it's pretty like tough.
It's intense, man, as far as like having teenage, like, no disrespect, Jer, but niggas can't never have no girl, like no daughter. Cause that's how foul that show is.
Oh yeah. Listen, bro. I get it.
I'm just saying it make fatherhood having a daughter stressful, bro, because them girls be making crazy choices on that show.
Bro,
and they 16, 15, 16, 17. I already know you seeing some bullshit.
Bro, my nigga, I'm in high school. Like, I'm looking at this shit and I'm hearing this shit that they be saying. And then, like, I hear, like, you know what I mean? I hear the boys and, you know, like, teachers find out shit and then IG. Because everyone tapes everything they do now. Like, I can't even.
Not spoiler alert, but one of the addiction kids, right, is addicted to attention. Some boy took her virginity. They recorded it and uploaded it to one of the porn sites. Well, the girl threatened one of the boys to take it down. They got it removed, but you know how the porn site do a third party. somebody yeah. to third party the thing. The little girl sees it, but gets hyped up about attention because she's reading the comments like other grown men talking about, oh, they would love to have sex with her. But she's a she's an overweight chick, so she's finally getting that attention. She's addicted to attention, so that's her. So that's her thing, and now she's just like banging. I'm in my mind. I'm assuming I'm fast forwarding that she's going to catch something because she's just having sex with random guys now in the show.
Oh, wow.
After losing her virginity. But it's just such a sick, you know what I mean? Because they're lying to their parents. They're doing a bunch, you know what I mean? Like it make you like damn near be a helicopter parent, bro.
And that's damn near the worst thing you can do.
Oh, yeah, because they go wild.
Yeah. That shit, oh, my Lord. I can't. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yo, parenthood in general, man, this shit is stressful, man.
That shit age you worse than fucking crack.
Amen. Yo, you want to talk about when I started losing my hair for real? It's when I started having kids, man. I had a full hairline up until the age of 30.
So I believe that, Amin. Any of the homies that had kids, all that shit start thinning.
You stressing, dude.
Although I must say, Operation Grow My Hair Out is really helping.
It's
helping. It slowed down the, like, I realized cutting my hair
looking like Ala Abdu Nabi.
Hey, man, it's all good.
Ala Abdu Nabi, shout out to
as long as I don't like KD, man, I'm good.
Nah, your grain is never going to, first of all, you got cat hair, boy.
Cat hair, I swear to God, I spent the last 3 days trying to understand what the texture is. Cats got straight ass hair, don't they?
Yeah, like your hair is good, dog.
I don't have straight hair, man. That's why I look like a cat.
Your hair's not coarse, dog.
it's not coarse. You're right.
You're not KD.
Like you're not gonna be Trey Young, bro. Like on a barbershop floor.
It's all good though. It's all good, bro.
Trey Young hair is straighter than mine.
Yeah, he looks nuts, bro. He got the Ricky Ricardo.
Yeah. Oh man, he got to hold on then until because once he goes like that or go baldy, I think he should just jump the gun and go baldy right now.
Hey, Trae Young hair look like somebody said in the back of his head.
I gotta agree with this shit.
Oh man,
Jesus,
we kid because we love Trey. Don't take it personal.
Hey, because you gotta look at it like imagine him driving like in a roadster or a two seater with the top down. Whew. His hair gonna move like 45.
yo, Waz is asking, are we good to go? Yes, nigga, we've been waiting for you.
I mean, I can't tell if y'all are just having a combo or whatever because I just swooped in. I didn't know if y'all started already.
Isn't that what the pot is? Isn't that what the pot is? Just a conversation?
He's so professional.
No comment.
Well, let me ask this. So this is officially we are potting. did you or did you not kiss your dog on the mouth the other night?
The laugh says it all. Tell me so.
I got home. Mind you, I mean, this was after the very prolonged club night with Ibrahim and them. And I was washed. I was hugging my dog. He was so happy to see me and I let him lick my mouth, man. It was. It is.
The transformation is complete.
I did not think this was going to come up again, man. Damn. I'm slightly embarrassed here.
Look, there was no way we're going to do a whole pod without bringing that up. All right. What do we got here? What's topic number one? We're going to talk about Jermaine Dupri, and everyone's mad at Jermaine Dupri now.
I mean, is it not justified? I mean,
and you mentioned other female rappers. Do you have a favorite right now in the rap game?
Cardi B, Nicki, Megan Thee Stallion. Stand out to you?
I can't really say.
Not a Cardi B fan.
The reason why I can't say is because I feel like they all rapping about the same thing, and I don't feel like that. I don't think they're showing us who's the best rapper. I think they're trying to show. For me. It's like strippers rapping, and I don't. As far as rap goes, I'm not getting who is the best rapper. I'm getting like, okay, you got a story about you dancing in the club. You got a story about you dancing in the club. Okay. All right. Who's getting ready to, going to be the rapper?
So different.
Yeah. Well, what is the thing that you want to see if you're not like...
Just more. I mean, I feel like at some point, somebody's going to have to break out of that mold and just show us, you know, talk about other things, like rap, just rap about other things besides that.
He wilding though. He had too much chip on his dip, bruh. I mean, dip on his chip.
Dip on his chip. Wow.
He was wilding because, like, at this point, bro, like, you got to understand. And it was so funny because, obviously, friend of the show, Dragonfly Jones, was like, nigga, Jermaine Dupri acting like niggas really was fucking with 1472, the album.
hey,
he was like, niggas was listening.
No, shit on 1472,
it was like three songs, bro.
Slow down now, Titty Titty Bang Bang, Don Chi-Chi. Roll my nigga KD. You remember that one?
No, he had like five songs, dog.
And the Ferrari and Jaguars,
we was listening to Capital Punishment, man. You know,
money in the thing.
Hey, we was listening to other albums, man. You know what I mean? But
that album did incredibly well.
So who is he actually going to put in a cipher?
Here's the funny thing though. Like the funny thing was, I read those comments and I wasn't outraged or anything, but then for some reason I went back and I listened to, do you guys remember when Dr. Dre made a diss track?
Yeah, of course. Dog, say what that, you say?
Yeah. Oh man.
That was a funny time.
That was the time
when everybody was beefing.
It said over 80 million records sold and I had to do with 11 and 12 year olds. I was like, oh, this nigga. Well, no, I ain't had to do with 10, 11-year-olds, you midget. Mini-me running around with a bunch of mini-youths. You know, they went like...
Dre was mad.
Creep with me as we take a little trip down memory lane. Been here longer than anyone in the game. And I ain't got to lie about my age.
But what about Jermaine?
Fuck Jermaine. He don't belong speaking mine or Timberland's name. And don't think I don't read your little interviews and see what you're saying. I'm a giant and I ain't gotta move till I'm provoked. When I see you, I'ma step on you and not even know it, you midget. Mini me with a bunch of little mini-yous running around your backyard swimming pools. Over 80 million records sold, and I ain't have to do it with 10 or 11 year olds.
He went so hard at him. Eminem went so hard at him. My favorite thing about Dr. Dre is you could always tell who wrote his lyrics just by the cadence, everything. Like, the first time I heard Still D.R.E., I was like, that's Jay-Z, man. Like, it's all the rhythms and, like, the wordplay of the guy who wrote it for you.
Or if you listen to the Compton album, how he's just rapping like Kendrick Lamar the whole time.
Yeah. Dre is the most transparent, like, ghost-written rapper there is.
And he's cool with it.
Yeah, I don't think it's a secret. It's just it's funny to me that you can tell immediately who wrote his lyrics,
right?
As opposed to Puff, where I can't tell.
Oh, I already know Jizzle wrote all that shit from the top. Jizzle writing it. All his shit. Anything.
Cole wrote "I'm Coming Home." Cole wrote "I'm Coming Home."
That's killer.
Yeah, like that's and 50. What did 50 write for him? 50 wrote some shit.
Who knows, man? But I don't expect that nigga to actually write anything.
Yeah, well, shit.
I don't even believe Take That is his.
Yeah. Yeah, he took that.
Probably Mace.
He took that. Yeah.
Shout out to Betha.
But Jermaine Dupri, like, I just was surprised that people got. Here's what I didn't like. I didn't like that he said it when he was being interviewed. I guess People Magazine has a digital show or whatever. And then. They were like, oh, okay. And they just kind of took the comments as is. And then they had a whole different episode where they shit on him. I'm like, look, if you found it that objectionable, it's on you to say that shit right then and there. Like, this thing where you wait till the next day and then you shit on him, I thought that was kind of bogus.
That's corny.
That was bogus and corny. Like I always go back to, my nigga Van Lathan. Like, Kanye was saying wild shit. He said it right. He didn't wait till the next day. Like, well, we had Kanye yesterday, and he said it right there to dude's face.
Yeah.
And I think that's the respectful and the respectable way to do that. If someone has outraged you like that, like the way they were acting outraged, I was like, that's whack, man. That's whack that you are. They go, wow, okay. And like they just kind of like went along with it. Because to me, at that point, if it's that outrageous, then you're part of it. You're part of it. when they, well, like if someone said that in front of, imagine if we were doing a pod with someone and they came on and say, well, actually all black people are lazy and you know, are on welfare. And we were like, wow, okay, all right. And then we waited till next week to talk about, well, so-and-so came on and they said this, so we didn't agree with it. Like, nah, man.
At the same time, though, me and Jermaine Dupri sounded crazy. And I'm not mad at the fact that
people... Nigga cheated on Janet. Like, I don't ever want to hear nothing from him, yeah, bro. Like, I don't care how sauce he was or whatever choice he made. Nigga looked like a beetle and he cheated on Janet, bro. Like, he should have never got another opinion out ever again.
And, you know, this is like a trillion rap artists who are women who don't rhyme like how he said, like strippers, and they don't do numbers. It's not like people are dying to hear that different type of rap. There's a bunch of them. People like Rhapsody or Dreezy or even a Tank or whoever. Like, there's a bunch of female rappers out there who do the rappity rap and got content and all of that, and nobody cares. But so I don't even understand what he's talking about.
But I would have liked to hear that from the interviewers. These are obviously very valid points, but my thing is also, okay, why don't they say that shit in front of them? Why don't they rebut this idea that the interview has to be this incredibly softball exercise? It's kind of ridiculous. It's ridiculous, right? Or at the very least, have one person be good cop, bad cop. Like, one person do the softball and the other person be kind of like Breakfast Club, right? Like, Charlamagne exists basically to ask because he has no filter. He asks everything. And, you know, Envy and Ye, you know, sometimes they'll join along in the fun if it's like it's ha-ha vibe. But if it's serious... Like, that's what Charlamagne is there for. He's not there to basically support and kind of just, like, go along with everything you say. And so, especially if you have two people interviewing, there's room for one of y'all to be a dick. Like, even if, you know, you don't want to. I don't know. It just rubbed me the wrong way. And you know what? It rubbed me the wrong way because they recorded a whole new episode where they shit on him behind his back. And that's the shit that I didn't like.
That's whack.
Yeah, that is whack.
That's whack.
But are you guys giving streams to the excellent rappity rap female artists out there? Or are you like me and just streaming Meg Thee Stallion and City Girls?
Nah, I'm gonna keep it a buck. I don't listen to none of that. I have no desire.
Why'd you seem
like a City Girls kind of
I don't know.
I don't listen to City Girls, but I do listen to Meg Thee Stallion.
None of that stuff, bro. Like, nah,
Y'all wanna know something funny?
What?
I legit did not know until this video came out that Meg Thee Stallion rap.
What'd you think she did?
I thought she was just like one of those internet famous strippers.
Oh, wow.
Like, she got a big ass.
I mean, and like, I don't want to be that guy. I'm telling you, she used to strip. I know she graduated from college.
Maybe not stripper. Maybe I should say Instagram honey. I thought she was like
You that. Thought she was an IG honey. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know she rapped. Like, I still star can't
tender.
Name a song.
Such a star tender.
She raps and she gets busy. Like, she's nice.
Speaking of get busy, let me just say right now, and I know we had this conversation like months ago, and I never really, and I remember Jerv was one of the guys who had come around on this. I didn't know DaBaby was good like that, man.
Oh, man.
I told you niggas.
I know, yeah, and I remember Jerv, and I remember like a couple weeks later, Jerv came back and said, I checked some of his music out. Yeah, he is pretty good. I remember all this, and I was just lazy. I just never got around to it.
Always lazy when it comes
also,
to it.
Also, I mean, you know it's our New York City hubris. I'm not going to front. When I heard his name, I was like, we already got Lil Baby.
Yes.
What would possess you to come out with that? Like,
out of all the New Yorkers, you the most fucking Southern New Yorker ever, bro. You fuck with
I listen to a lot of Southern music.
You fuck with all that shit. All the Thug, that shit, all that.
Thug, Baby, Gunna.
You listen to all that.
Oh, my God.
But like Waz is right. There was an element of, I heard the nigga's name and instantly I was like, nope.
I slept on him.
I'm past that.
And then I heard that track on Revenge of the Dreamers, and holy shit. I was like, the fuck? This is who it is? Yeah. This nigga rapping his ass off, man. Like,
I caught him at a live show. I mean, that's how I got. So, like, I watched his whole stage performance. Like, he has a element of, like, his whole thing is thought out. Like, he puts a lot of thought and, like, effort into the product that he's putting out. Like, from his marketing to everything. Like, he's fronting, like, he's taking girls out the crowd and they end up coming on stage and dancing exactly how strippers do. You know, he's got, like, two huge bodyguards on stage and ski masks. Like, he's got a whole production. And, like, there's an element of craft to what he's doing, bro. So I was like, when I watched the show, I was impressed.
You remember when I told y'all, like, he showed up to the Dreamville brunch, and I was like, who the fuck is this nigga showing up with seven cops or, like armed security, bulletproof vests and everything? I'm like,
marketing.
The Dreamville brunch is like, yo, this is, like, the most chill environment.
Rap like, event that you could go to.
Yeah, right? Like, it's not your typical kind of rap scene or whatever. And this dude shows up, like you know, just guarded up with the bulletproof vest on. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And they're like, yeah, man, that nigga shot somebody. That nigga shot somebody and got away with it.
It's a hell of a market.
That's hilarious.
And then, I mean, you know, he had a couple of videos go viral where he beat some people up.
The dude, yeah.
That's the one that beat the dude up in the store?
In the movie store, yeah.
Was that stage-wise?
Because so much of what he does is like a well-oiled machine. Like, I know people who've worked with him through the label, and it's like, this dude's on time for everything. Like, he handles his business.
Right.
So it wouldn't surprise me if he came up with, you know, in one of his own marketing meetings internally, it was like, yo, we could really go viral if I really, like, do right. something like this and I craft this type of image. It wouldn't surprise me because he puts that much thought into what he's doing.
At the same time, somebody had to get paid to get the shit beat out of them. Like, that wasn't, like, that, it might have been staged, but somebody got the shit beat out of him. So, like, shout out to that guy if it is staged.
But look, but to get back on the topic of the female MCs, Trey, you were saying you don't listen to City Girls and Meg Thee Stallion, or you just don't listen to female MCs in general?
No. My thing is, look, I respect them, but that ain't the type of, I'm not mobbing with that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a great segue, you know, to talk about the City Boys versus City Girls thing. I personally, at 35, I'm not rocking with none of that stuff, bro. Like, if I walk into a spot and it's on, cool. Because, I they normally have dope beats. And I think, from what I've heard and trust the timeline, Megan can rap, the other chicks can rap. Like, I respect them, but I personally wouldn't just say, hey, yo, turn that on. You know what I mean? Like, that's not my cup of tea because, honestly, I'm not into it. Like, I don't understand this whole, the movement of it. You know what I mean? And the whole City Boys thing got me even confused even more because.
Why are you confused by the City Boys thing?
What are we doing here? What is this? What is this?
It's a joke.
I understand it, but I just can't get behind it. I think, you know, I made a comment that, like, you know how some things used to be funny to you and it's not funny anymore? I'm at that point with it. Like, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, see, I'm a little different because I still get a kick out of men in this Twitter. Like, that, like, just the thought of that movement people were running with.
I said it's an all lives matter answer to City Girls, right?
Right. It's people being stupid on the internet, which I know we should be past this at this point, but I'm still a sucker for internet jokes and memes, and the City Boys meme is hilarious to me.
It's just the counter, right?
So are you familiar with the hot girl summer? Little meme where essentially, like, I guess women were on the internet saying this summer they were gonna have fun and do what they want and
flip the script, man.
Have no inhibitions and yeah, whatever. Have fun, which is like, I don't know why we would discourage women from doing that anyway, but okay, go ahead, cool.
No, don't do that because honestly, there's some cuff daddy niggas that don't want to let their women do nothing.
Okay, but that's wrong, Trey. I'm just saying,
I don't subscribe to that theory.
I'm not into that theory.
It's 100% wrong, but it's some insecure niggas that's like, right. Nah, bruh, you're not going outside like that.
Right.
You're not doing this. You're not hanging out with them, with your hoe friends. You're not going to Miami. Not doing, listen, it's hella restrictions for them niggas, bro. Like, and I get it, but like, personally, like, you know, I thought it was hilarious how niggas is getting that D-Wade with for having a thigh tat and then the fingernail polish, and they like, okay, City Boys is up 50. But
you know, hold on, Trey. Did you see the joint where the white homie, skinny homie, was getting suntan lotion applied to his body by his shorty at the beach? And shorty was a plus figure shorty. She was a Lizzo. Yeah. She was a Lizzo type, and he was getting his whole joint oiled up or whatever. And they was like, yeah, see, it's a hot boy. Somehow I was like, I'm with that.
For humor purposes, that's crazy.
Exactly.
I don't want to go viral like that, bro. I'm sorry.
You know what it reminded me of? Do you guys remember the movie Road Trip?
Of course. That's exactly what I thought of. A boinker.
Wait, yo, Road Trip.
Girl, boinking.
But he's like, yo, would you fuck a leopard? Bro.
You remember my man hit the corner?
Yeah, her panties.
I don't remember Road Trip.
You with never Tom seen Green? Road Trip?
Really? I probably saw it. I just don't remember. What who's in it?
When they go, it's like it's Sean William Scott with Stifler from American Pie. It's Breckin Meyer, who was in Franklin and Bash. I guess that's the most famous thing he was in. And then Tom Green, and then the skinny dude, DJ Qualls, was actually had like a really crazy indie, like dramatic career in movie and TV. But in that movie, obviously, it was a comedy. And they go on this road trip from like wherever they are to Austin, trying to get this letter. Because my man mailed a tape of him cheating on his girl to his girl who going to school at a different college. And so they try to go there to intercept. Intercept the tape before she can get it.
I love the 90s, man. That, like,
very 90s. Yeah.
I'm embarrassed to say that I've never seen this movie.
No, but Jerb, one of the reasons why, like, one of the stops they make on the road is at a black frat house, right?
That shit is fire, man.
Yeah, and so they stop there and they're like, yo, like, one of the dudes says, oh, no, I know a place we can stay. And they're like, well, it's a frat house. I'm one of the brothers there. They're all white. And they get there and it's a black frat house, like, motherfucker, like, you got us in the end. Like, it looks like they got to whoop their ass or whatever. And then the dude does like the secret handshake or whatever. And they're like, oh, you cool. And then they end up partying like a crazy ass party. It's a fictitious frat, but they step in or whatever. And actually, there's a couple of dudes in that movie that I went to school with. Like, the short dude, the little person, he was an alpha at Georgia Tech.
Okay.
And he was cast in that movie. And so at one point in the middle of that house party, my man, the skinny dude, ends up with this Soro, who's plump, if you will.
Voluptuous. she's full figured.
Yes. And as Waz quotes the line, he shows up the next morning. He's like, how'd it go? He said, I boinked her. And he pulls out her panties. Straight
limping. Let's go, Kyle. We want details. What happened?
Well, we had a few drinks, danced a little, and, you know.
No, we don't know. Why don't you tell us? What the hell is that? Did you kill a cheetah?
What? No, these are her underwear. She gave them to me.
Oh, dope! Oh!
I boinked her!
Boinked?
Yeah, wait, did you just say the word boinked?
And still persists. Would you hit a wilder? They say, like, it's something, you hit a water buffalo or something like that.
Wildebeest.
A wildebeest.
Type of joke that wouldn't probably fly in 2019.
Nah, that shit would have flew.
That shit's not flying at all.
That shit would have not flew back then.
And then, and then he takes a huge whiff of them. Yeah. That was it.
Shout out to the 90s.
That character, though, that dude, that actor alone, bro, he's a funny looking cat.
Yeah, he's a weird.
He was in Hustle and Flow.
Yeah, there you go. He's in Hustle and Flow. That's right.
I know that dude.
But like, he's like I said, he's had a really good career as an indie actor, as a dramatic actor in indie films or whatever. So, you know, good for him.
And he was clearly having a great hot boy summer.
Yo, by the way, real quick, well, if you like good content and funny people and awesome things and us, check out the live show. Tickets are on sale now, right? Is it general or is it still the Patreon?
No, general public.
General public. So they're going fast.
The VIP sold out.
VIP sold out. The Patreons, shout out to all the Patreons, man. They're eat up them tickets quick. So if you're listening to this, head over to countthedings.com. Check Jade's, check any of our profiles, really. And you'll find all the information to go in there, secure your couple tickets in San Francisco, by the way, I should say. It's in San Francisco at the Independent Theater. By the way, the very next week, who plays the Independent Theater? JD in the Straight Shot.
Can't make it up.
100%, man.
That's hilarious, bro.
So we'll make a lot of jokes at their expense, I'm sure, at the live show in San Francisco. Make sure you cop a pair of your tickets. It's in October 12th, right? Correct?
Yes,
October 12th. So that's a Saturday. It's in San Francisco. It's a great time of year to be in the Bay. It's right at the start of the NBA season. Everyone's going to be real excited. You'll get all the basketball buds. You'll get Nerder, She Wrote. You'll get Bomb. You'll get the Friday Mailbag. And as always, we always, always, always come through with the guests. We never disappoint. And we always, like last show we did in Chicago, we had Jay Adande come out. We had
Odd Couple.
Yeah, DJ Odd Couple, who is Chance the Rapper's DJ. Like we always, always, always come through with some interesting people who come on stage and make it fun. So make sure you're a part of that.
I just bet not see Jerv participating in Hot Boy Summer, man.
I'm out here, dog.
Or being a city boy. My nigga got his arms out and shit.
Nah, B. I tweeted the one thing I was saying. I'm the dude on the bench is just excited for everybody out here living their life. I'm watching from afar, dog.
That's hilarious.
Let me segue, because we talked about Road Trip, which is a movie that came out probably about 20 years ago. But a movie that came out exactly 20 years ago was The Wood. And this movie, first of all, I think it's criminally underrated. This is one of the great coming-of-age movies. But also, it was weird because on the one hand, it depicted, again, we've had this conversation on this pod a lot, growing up on the East Coast, I'd never been to L.A. And so everything I knew about L.A. came from, like, Boys in the Hood and Men of Society and Ice Cube and stuff like that. Like, I literally was ignorant of everything. I thought everyone went to the beach and swam and did all that stuff because we didn't know any better. But the other part of this that's pretty interesting is when I saw The Wood, it was about South Central or Inglewood, excuse me, about West Coast culture. But at the same time, I saw for the first time a similarity. Like, oh, that's how I grew up. That's how it was with me. Like, not everyone that's out here running around, like, running the streets and doing wild shit. Like, a lot of us are just trying to go to school and, like, get good grades and, like, meet girls and all that stuff. And I thought that movie was just tremendous in terms of capturing that time of life. And so I want to start with Trey, because, Trey, you obviously grew up, you know, not far from there. Maybe not in that era, maybe like a decade later, but still like around that same time. And so what did that movie mean to you when it came out?
Oh, I mean, it was very similar to certain ways. I mean, ideally, you wanted to have your group of friends that you grew up with and be able to go through those type of life chapters. I was fortunate to experience my best friend's wedding at the time. You know what I mean? Watch him, but like not a group of friends of like four of us, like in that stuff. And it was pretty cool. We never had no implant friend come in, like Big Mike's role. He moved from North Carolina. We never had anybody from another state kind of move into the neighborhood, because Compton was pretty rough. And then, you know, Inglewood was based at, and it kind of had like, you know, obviously the whole Bloods and Crips thing. But both of those, all those dudes played ball. So that was relatable. And then I guess the transition of like, you know, adulthood and stuff like that. And I never really made any pacts with my friends to like have sex first. So I thought that was interesting. But J. Cole used that like kind of similar in his video with the, you know, I don't know. I always compare those things together. His the sex scene from The Wood and his actual
The song. Wet Dreams? Was it The Wet Dreams?
Yeah. Like it was kind of like piggybacked off that. Yeah. But ideally, seeing The Wood in ninth grade was definitely kind of how I wanted my high school to play out for the rest of it. You know what I mean?
Wow. Like, I never even thought about it. Like, Trey came out at a time where it was something that you were looking forward to. And
yeah,
for me, I was looking back. Like that movie, I remember looking back. First of all, the scene where they're in the... when they're in the convenience store and
that happened a million times.
And Big Mike and Ro are talking about like the different types of gum and the different Tic Tacs and Big Mike and my man, well, not Big Mike. Mike was the
Slim
was
and Ro.
Slim and Ro were talking about the Tic Tacs or whatever. And he said, to listen to them, you think they were college professors, like with a PhD and candy, whatever. And like, that's the shit. I'm like, oh my God, I have those friends.
I was actually fortunate to be around that time. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure when did it stop of the whole paper pen gum. Yeah. I actually got a chance to experience that.
How many numbers did you get and all that? Like,
that was still a thing. You know what I mean? Because we didn't have too much technology yet.
How about this, which is extremely problematic today, but back then, I imagine it was pretty normal. I know it was normal. I bet you a dollar you won't touch your booty.
I will give you $1.
Damn, nigga, let me hold him up. Come on, man.
Look, I know your ass.
Yo, you touch your booty, man? You get a dollar? Man, you better go on and do that. You got to do it right now, though.
Man, okay, it's a bet.
A bet? All it's right. A bet.
Word. Hey, but look. Hey, you gotta do it before lunch is over or the best off.
Yeah, man. Ain't got all day. Okay. Okay, man. Take this nigga out.
This nigga about to get
sick. You about to get his ass whooped.
I was ready, determined. Now for a dollar, it was worth the risk. And the booty was looking good.
Now all this time I was trying so hard to fit in, I never stopped and asked myself why the hell they ain't want to grab a butt.
Yeah, man.
I got slapped for touching a girl's chest.
There you
chest.
Go.
Oh, wow. Touching her chest, but I didn't bet. I just did it out of like curiosity. I was like a horny fucking 14-year-old and got slapped in class.
Man, it wasn't even about being horny. It was weird, man. It was just.
But
like,
yeah, I just didn't. It was new to me. Like I had went to an all boys school prior to. And then going to this new school and being around, like, I didn't know. Like, I'm just, like, thinking, like, okay, it's a cool thing to do. And I just got slapped, and it was so loud that the entire class heard it. And I did it in class. I didn't, like, do it.
Not, Trey, you were really wilding.
Yeah, no, I was wilding, you know what I mean? Like, but then I just didn't like the embarrassment of it. So, like, that never happened again.
So, yeah. Trey, I came of age in the culture around the West Indian Labor Day Parade in New York City. In Brooklyn, every single Labor Day, they do this huge freaking thing on Eastern Parkway in Brooklyn. And if you weren't grabbing women's asses as they were walking by, you were the weird one. Again, this was the 90s, guys.
It's a different time.
Not today. It was different times, different standards. It was terrible what we were doing. But that's the, you know, toxic masculinity culture.
I was still at a point. Before 2000, I thought I was still gonna go to hell for like looking at dirty magazines, bro. Like, I had a homie, bro. Like I went to all boys school, private school, and the homie used to steal his dad's Playboy magazine. So yeah, LaToya Jackson and all these. You know, I'm talking back when it was hair down there on in the magazines you found. And he would say, come over here, come look, and open it up, and I'd be looking, and I just cover my eyes like a little ass kid. You know what I'm saying? Cause I just really wasn't like mature enough for that. And then hormones just went in overdrive once I went to high school at Dominguez. Like I just was like, what is like, it's girls everywhere. Like, bro, I ditched school for one girl, bro, for 33 days.
Wow. Shit.
33 days straight, bro. Like,
at least you graduated, my brother.
I was at school. No, listen, I was at school and I lied with my friend, said, Miss Worthy, shout out to Miss Worthy. Computer literacy. I'm not sure if she's still alive or what. She was older then. But because this is almost 20. This is literally 20 years ago. So who knows, bro? But I lied on the lady. I told my parents, like my grandma, that this lady didn't like me and she kicked me out of class. And what I would do is go to this girl's class, this PE class, and hang out there and just really just kind of like get her to like me. And she finally liked me, but she ended up getting taken to prom by a senior. She was a ninth grader too, bro. Like, it was kind of wild, but like
problematic.
The letter came home, the truancy letter came home, bro. And I got kicked off the basketball team. My grandma took the TV. She took my Sega Dreamcast. They put pig iron in my room so I can lift weights. It was like really solitary confinement. I had to come home right after school. I couldn't have company. It was terrible, bro. Like, but I learned my lesson, bro.
Did Jerv or Wad, did you guys have any memories of the wood?
Man, so in 1999, I was only 12. Like, a lot of the themes went over my head, right? Like, some of the adult themes, I'm still like 2 years away from even going to high school. Like, a lot of the, just like the overall ethos of the movie was just like super adult to me. Like, I didn't get it. So, and I can't say I've gone back and watched The Wood a trillion times. Like, afterwards, it's not like you mentioned Boys in the Hood, A Menace to Society, where like the appeal of violence is just, it's inherent. It's like, of course I want to watch cats get shot up and shit like that. Right. This was a different type of movie. This was a way more mature movie in a lot of ways. So it didn't really resonate with 12-year-old me that way.
Well, Jerv.
So I was a little older than Wiz at the time, right? So for me, it was I thought it was a dope movie off top. I enjoyed it. And for me, very similar, the whole, like, I was late to the whole, like, you know what I mean? I was late to, like, not late to like, girls or anything like that, but I was the last active individual out of my squad. So, like, that aspect of the film.
But you was a late bloomer, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, not late bloomer. I just, bruh, like, you want the real answer? I watched Boys in the Hood and Ricky got a girl pregnant and I didn't want to be Ricky.
You never heard of Rubbers? Like, what,
dude, listen, Ricky got somebody pregnant and all I knew is if you had sex, you get somebody pregnant. So I was a late bloomer, right? Like, so like for me, I mean, by the time The Wood came out, obviously, you know, I'm very well into like college, so I'm a different individual. So, but it was dope, like seeing that on the other side of the country, because all I knew of at that time was Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society, and all that type shit. So it was dope seeing a different angle of it. And then, like you, Wise, you know, that whole I think whatever parade y'all said y'all had, for me, it was the Greek picnic, right? Like the Greek picnic was like the Freak Fest, Nick, right? Was the, yeah. The Freaknik was like, I guess it would be on a million or whatever the case may be. And the Greek picnic would be like 500,000 or something like that. You know what I mean? It wasn't as crazy, but it was crazy enough. So I grew up in this era where, you know, it was the 90s. Like, it was just, you had to act certain ways in order to like fit in with your squad. And so like The Wood was that. Also, because
can I applaud you guys for not being immature when we say the title The Wood?
I mean, I had a quick moment in my mind.
That's how much I respect that movie. I just thought it was so. And the other thing I thought was, and maybe I was wrong, but like I remember watching it and I said, this is not a black movie or a hood movie. This is a movie that should appeal to everybody, because a lot of it, although there were themes that were very rooted in the black experience, a lot of it wasn't, man. A lot of it was just about growing up and the things that you go through as you're trying to find yourself and learn about yourself. You know, one of my favorite scenes is the scene where Mike, he knows they're going to the dance and he's like, all right, I got to go home and I got to practice dancing. And he puts on the, I want two. You know, like, and he starts dancing in the living room and then he grabs the bunny and he starts grinding on the bunny and his mom walks in. Like, it's a funny ass scene, because when he says, "Oh, you want to watch me dance? How about this?" And he kind of does the little hop, and then he sticks it. He like starts.
Listen, that was a sick practice, by the way. The practice before the dance.
It's one of my favorite scenes like ever.
I can imagine you dancing like that, though. I mean,
before you stepped out. But no, that's definitely was like that was the thing. I wasn't dancing like that, but it was definitely the thing of like, all right, I got to get hyped for this party and put on the music, and you just start dancing in your goddamn. Well, I did in the bedroom. This motherfucker is doing it in his living room and shit. And oh girl, oh word, you like that? Okay, I did all that shit, man. I was always doing that shit, like get myself hyped before you go to the school dance. And then the other scene, go ahead, Jer.
No, I was gonna say I hated school dances. So for me, that scene was with me too. Outside of grinding on the bunny, like I did that, right? Like, you know what I mean? I had to convince myself, because I to this day, like, I don't dance. I mean, I might give you a little two-step. If you see like, me dancing,
just
I'm
a little two-step, that's
it? I might give you a two-step.
Oh, we was out.
I told y'all my problem, bro. I skeeted in my jeans, bro. I was out here reckless on ass.
I know you was, dog.
I was in high school. Back that ass up came out, bro. Oh, so man. I was cutting up. I had the homies holding me up, bro, on one cheek.
Don't get it twisted.
I found a wall. You were that nigga. You were that nigga that they would come with the moral support.
They were the niggas that was hyping you, bro. They be
Get it done.
You too much into it, bro. Like, and that's all I really had to offer because niggas was right there. I don't know if niggas was lying on their dick at the time, but niggas is over here like talking about they had sex and shit. I probably was the only in ninth grade that didn't have sex at the time, bro. And I think I almost thought about lying about that shit, bro. And I was like, nah, this shit.
No, never lie.
But niggas, I know niggas is lying, bro, because their stories was too crazy. I remember one nigga was like, yeah, one girl come over, bro. I skipped school. And then another chick came over. And then another chick. I'm like, come on, my nigga. Niggas is I had no belief that niggas was three different girls in three times a day. Like, it was no way, bro. Like, I was like, nah.
Yo, Amir, I want to ask you, because the Wood is like you said, a coming-of-age story. Based in Inglewood, California. Like, I can't think of a black coming-of-age story based in New York City, right? Like,
Fresh.
Okay.
But Fresh was, like, he was kind of prepubescent. He was, like, 12. And also, Fresh was incredibly violent. Like, Fresh, let me put it this way. Like, while there are things about Fresh that I watched, and I recognized because it was New York, very New York things in Fresh. At the same time, I'll be honest, I couldn't totally relate in the sense that, man, they wasn't selling crack on my block, man. Like, I wasn't dipping and diving through crackheads like that. And so in a weird way, the New York stuff resonates with me way more in Fresh because I'm like, oh, I know how that is. I know, like, remember his fat Puerto Rican friend? We got the stupid dope moves or whatever, the one that like everyone had that friend, right? That fat Puerto Rican friend that back then would say nigga all the time, and it wasn't a big deal because back then Puerto Ricans are black, right? And then they discovered reggaeton, and then everything changed after that. Motherfuckers started growing their hair out and throwing random Spanish words into everything they say.
Chill, man.
Yeah, but that's the truth. Like everything you can come down to. Pre and post reggaeton. Pre reggaeton, Puerto Ricans were black. Like it wasn't like the idea that the other, you know, maybe it was like a year ago or so, they tried to cancel culture Fat Joe for saying nigga in song. I'm like, Fat Joe's
black.
Fat Joe's a nigga. Like, I'm like, I don't think about it like that.
Fat Joe is the ultimate pass.
Now, if Bad Bunny comes up and says nigga, like, I'm gonna have a problem with it.
Yeah, you might have to look at it sideways. You know what I was thinking of mean? I was like, the only coming-of-age story I could think about in New York City, it is not even about black people, is Kids. And that movie is so dark.
I'll tell you another. Juice is kind of a coming-of-age story.
Yeah, that's fair.
But again,
that's a good New York story right there.
But again, like to me, The Wood was way more relatable as far as, like, experiences, right? Mm-hmm. Not in terms of where it is, where it's happening. Right. But just in terms of the conversations I had with my friends, it was incredibly well written. Because, like, a lot of these, like, other movies, they don't hold up. Like, you listen to the dialogue in Juice, and nobody fucking talks like that, man. Yo, come on, B. That's like, no one talks like that. But the Wood, what I like
about
it.
Are you sure? Because every New York nigga I've ever met in my life.
So, but like, no, but you see, like that's y'all doing a caricature of what New York people sound like. And that's what Juice is. It's a caricature, right? But the Wood was like, that's really how niggas be talking. Like, really be analyzing the different kind of Tic Tacs and mints and gums. Like, that's shit that niggas actually do. And they say it, like, with mad conviction. Nah, nah, you can't put that in. If you do that, then a whole mess, it'll come out and talk while you're talking to the girl. Nah, like, that's all real talk right there, man. When the stuff that they're saying to the girls in the Levert Casanova montage. Come on, girl. Like, I heard you gave it up to so-and-so. Like, all that shit. That's like, that's real stuff that, you know, kids and teenagers be talking like that, or at least right. They used to. I don't know. So, I mean, I think I really appreciated the level of almost like, you know, in a different way. But, you know, you remember the first time you saw Superbad and thought to yourself, that's how people talk.
Yeah.
Right. Like in every movie, that's not the way they talk in movies is not how real life happens. And then you watch Superbad and I'm like, that's exactly how it happens. That's exactly how conversations go. Right, so I felt the same thing when I watched The Wood, man. Wood was phenomenal. I was so like that, and it kind of bums me out now, 20 years later, that it's a movie that not a lot of people have heard of, not a lot of people have watched, and you know,
it's the type of movie that probably wouldn't get made today. That's really the saddest part, yeah. Because you know, all we make is superhero movies now. So,
well, it's or we don't make black movies,
right?
Right, like a movie like that, that was so unapologetically black, and yet at the same time, was there even a white person in The Wood?
Not really.
I'm sure a teacher or something, or like the principal.
Nah, it wasn't no white homies. Nah, that shit was pro black as hell.
Yeah, I'm about to go watch that shit and point out the one white person in it.
It was, and it's funny that you should bring up superhero movies, Waz, because like Black Panther, it was totally black, and at the same time. It was just a movie.
Yeah, like, I think it's just black people in a Marvel movie.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but that's my thing about The Wood. It's like, it's not, it's totally black, but at the same time, it's not about this is what the black experience is like. It's like, this is what people growing up, and these all happen to be black, right? And so, I mean, there's a little stuff, you know, the whole thing with Stacey, by the way. That dude, man. I like every time I see him, like I get a smile on my face because I just think about like, you don't bring no zigzags, you don't get no drig drag. That shit, Ron. I ought to be a rapper. Make me a whole album about smoking weed. Like that was such a fucking great line, man. You know, I don't know. I really enjoyed it, man. I guess.
Great movie. And if you haven't watched it, go see it.
Yeah, it's like it's honestly, you'll enjoy it. Yeah, like it's just a good, funny movie. And it doesn't really have like a, you know, like a lot of black movies have the problem that they try to preach something to you, right?
Yo, whoever that is, loud.
Work that mute.
Somebody's like Dryer is on or something. That got to be Jerv.
Yeah.
He going to say, my bad, yo. Hey,
with that little laugh. The Jerv high laugh.
So, I mean, man, I know Area 51 is a big fascination of yours. Or am I just confusing you with Jade?
You're confusing me with Jade.
All right, everybody. That's going to do it for the main part of the show. Right now, we're going to go ahead and cut the rest of the episode and go into the overtime. If you want to check out some of the overtime overflow action from this episode of BOMM, you're going to want to go ahead and go on to patreon.com/countthedings. That's patreon.com/countthedings. Subscribe, and on there, you're going to get overflows like you'll find here on BOMM. And you're going to want to keep it locked here. Keep it tuned.